Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, nerds? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the Nottingham Forest reaction show, of course. We said last time we haven't done a show for a while because we were celebrating. I guess it was, we've had a couple of days celebrating that one as well. A 90 plus 9 minute winner from the returning Darwin Núñez against the side that were singing, "You're just a shit, Andy Carroll," singing "Sign on" all game. It couldn't have went, it couldn't have finished any better against that fan base. With the player that scored against them, it couldn't have worked out any better. As bad as the game was in general, the way that it ended, it was just, I mean, I'm not even surprised this Liverpool side anymore this season. It's just creating mad stuff week on week. But before we get stuck into it properly, I'm Mick Moran. I'm joined by Christian Anderson once again. Christian, how are you feeling, lad? How's it going on the bevies still? Or
no, I'm feeling better now. I was very tired yesterday, and I was tired Sunday as well because I spent the weekend in Norrköping and obviously saw the game with about 100 other Reds because there was an event there, and I saw, you know, my mates from there. So I had a Friday night where I saw my daughter as well for a couple of hours, which was great, obviously. But then I went out with the lads for a few bevvies on the Friday, and obviously a little bit tired on the Saturday as well. And, you know, you keep going. So Sunday and Monday, I've been really, really tired. But, you know, when you win like that, you can be as tired as, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, because you just feel happy when you wake up that, you know, you got the 3 points in that way, and Darwin Núñez scoring that way. And like you mentioned at the start, because of what they sang and, you know, how they behaved, their fan base. So, you know, I'm happy. We're still top of the league, you know, got the 3 points. That's what all that matters. And now we go from here.
Yeah. And let's talk about the lineup a little bit, because I think it probably surprised most people again. I think similar to the last game where Gomez is in there, and you're like, well, the first game I was like, he's definitely not in the sixth position. This one I thought, surely he's not in the six again, but it turned out he was. So the lineup for the last game was Kelleher in goal, Bradley, Konate, Van Dijk and Robbo the back, and then midfield three of Maka, Gomez and Clark, and then a forward three of Elliot, Gakpo and Diaz. Of course, Bobby Clark making more and more steps in terms of getting onto the field. Of course, we've seen him in cameos and stuff, so it's nice to see him starting games. And I thought, again, he was just really calm, nice little nutmeg early. I think like the first 20 minutes just gave him a little cheeky nutmeg and ran around him. So that's the confidence he's got. And he'll only get better from playing in games like this. But in terms of the lineup, then how are you feeling? I think that was probably in terms of what we can put out there. Of course, as Obislai and Nunes returned to the bench, which again, I think we said if they start, then we'll have the likes of Gakpo coming off the bench and other players. But Klopp played it the other way, where he was probably hoping we didn't have to bring them on. I think he was probably praying that we could get a goal and hold on and just keep Nunes and Szoboszlai off the field and get them ready for next Sunday. But I think in terms of playing it safe and still having a good starting 11, I think it was a good shout.
Yeah, and with that midfield, like you said as well, like when we saw the starting lineup, I thought actually Joe Gomez was going to play in that position. Because I think, you know, with Havelius playing to the right up front and with Bradley being the natural right back that he is, and Joe Gomez doing the good job that he's done previously in that position, even though he has to, you know, work himself into it. So I thought with that kind of midfield first and foremost, it's kind of a new midfield. It's a tough one. You're playing away. But, you know, you trust them because you learned that, you know, they can do it in the way they have done it the last couple of games. And, you know, you can say a lot about Joe Gomez in terms of, you know, having his injuries and coming back into form. But the way that he's played this season, and I've liked him, you know, since he came to Liverpool. But, you know, the way that he's been so versatile to play in so many different positions and, you know, stepping up in that number six role where, you know, I can understand it's not that easy because you need to be better on knowing what's surrounding you because you need to be able to, you know, receive the ball and maybe turn and not being... have the pressure on you and, you know, get in positions where you lose it because it's a dangerous area. But, you know, I think he's doing it really, really good. And Bobby Clark, like you said, young guy who has confidence. You can see that he's a footballer. He probably just needs more experience, you know, get a little bit stronger in his body and all that. But, you know, that's the best that we could put out at that moment. And, you know, I was confident that we could go and win it. I wouldn't say comfortably, but I didn't think it was going to take, you know, that long. to go and do it. But, you know, the way we still turned out to be, I thought we started well. And, you know, with all the injuries that we have, you know, we can't really complain because the lads who's stepping in those positions, like we said, Joe Gomez and the others, you have to be proud of them because they're doing a great, great job in doing what, you know, playing in positions they're not used to.
Yeah, I think it's, we keep, I guess these results that are happening or the fixtures that are set up for us with the injuries that we've got, I think it's like it's kind of like set up for us to fail a little bit because like we've not got the injury, we've got the players fit, we're having to put Gomez in the six, and just like kind of patchwork around different areas of the 11 just because of how many injuries we've got, and you're like, if we don't keep winning, it's like. You're kind of expecting it maybe if you get somewhere and you get a draw or whatever, something happens, or that game could have easily been 0-0 because of the way it went and the way it looked like it was going. It looked like it was going to be one of them games where it just wasn't very pretty at all and we're just going to have to accept a draw. But again, mentality monsters rears its head again, and Darwin Nunes at the focal point of that. But again, it's just I just love that. It's the never say die attitude. I think it's that's how you win. Titles, we've done it in the past with, of course, different teams, a completely different team basically, but to keep that going and keep the run of form going as well, I think, especially when you've got like the likes of Nunes come off the bench and Szoboszlai come off the bench, Salah's hopefully going to be fit for next week, it gives you that even more confidence going into the next game. And I think especially Gomez, I think when you're looking at like maybe a six, you think in terms of 10 on the ball, good, decent passer, good pace. I think that's one good thing for him if he wants to play that. If he's going to be playing that position more, I think he's got enough pace to kind of, especially since he, especially this season where he's been closing down. I feel like I've said before, like he always looked like to me he was like kind of half jogging, but I think we've seen like full sprints, closing down, trusting his body not to be injured again. I think he was always half worried to pick up another injury, and I don't think we've been seeing that. So I think it's early days with him in there, but I think it's definitely a good option. I don't think it should be the first choice because I think he should be a fully fledged like left back now. I think left back's where we've seen him flourish, and of course either on the right as well, where we know he's more comfortable, I guess, in terms of how much he's played there. But yeah, I've just really enjoyed seeing him play, and I think it's, again, like I said, it was set up for us to struggle, and we did. We struggled often throughout that game. I was just looking at the stats, like the first half stats. We had no shots on target. They had one. We had four off target. And again, you're just thinking, it's going to be one of them games. Like, just we're just going to have to hold on as long as we can in terms of just, I think Klopp always says it, like, just stay in the game. Of course, like, if they score, then you'd have to then bring on Szoboszlai and Nunes straight away, and you have to go for it. But I think second half, especially, I mean, we had two shots on target, one's the goal. So again, it doesn't, like, didn't fill me with confidence when we're getting towards the end of the game, and you're like, fucking hell, it's just going to be another one of them days where it just doesn't happen for you. And especially when you've got to hope that United do us a favour against City, which we knew they weren't. We knew Sheffield United weren't going to do us a favour against Arsenal. They got absolutely battered. So it's just another, for me, another massive step and another day where we've just, like, I don't know if defied the odds is too dramatic, but in a way, I think a little bit is, the way that how many injuries we've got and the way that we won it.
Yeah, and we fight our way through the game. Like you said, the stats wasn't the best, but it was a tough game. Forest, they worked hard and made it hard for us to come through. And obviously with injuries and the players not being available to start, that you have to expect that to happen at some point. Even though we've been playing good without them recently, sometimes it will be hard, and especially going away from home, not having them for the crowd, in your back, helping you, push you. That's going to be something. And you can say about Nottingham Forest not being the best team and stuff, but they got a few players there where the bodies, they are quick, and some of them can play. And obviously playing at home, you can never go anywhere in the Premier League and you say it's going to be easy. That's why it is the best league in the world, because you can go and win, but you won't win in an easy way all the time. There will be some places which there's easier than others because of form or injuries, or they already kind of lost faith in themselves because they're going that bad and all that kind of stuff. But it's just one of them where what I like with the team performances now and the way we obviously go and win it is that we don't stop believing in ourselves, and the group doesn't stop to believe in each other. Like, they still keep on pushing, believing in all the players that are in there. You obviously have Van Dijk being the captain, but he trusts Bobby Clark to do a job, even though he's a young lad coming in, have only played before being a substitute and all that kind of stuff. You got then Gomez coming in a position where he's not used to play. But the players who are there, the older players and the more experienced players like Van Dijk, he trusts them to do the job, even though it's not Szoboszlai, it's not Diaz, it's not Salah. He still look at them and be like, this is a group and we do this together. And I feel that it's something that is down to the core of the whole team. Like, all players feel this. And that's also something that you can see on the pitch when they keep on fighting for the win. It looks like it's not going to happen. And, I guess 9 out of 10, it doesn't happen. That's the thing, because it is a tough game. Like I said, sometimes you won't get away with 3 points, but because they have this belief and fight for each other, it pays off because they keep on going. And people can say it's a bit of luck. Yes, it's a bit of luck, but at the same time, teams performing like we have done with the injuries that we have, they create their own luck in a sense. And I said this before we started record as well. Sometimes it comes down to just momentum, keep on going, never say die attitude, like you mentioned. And it pays off with a little bit of luck sometimes when you need it, because you've been fighting that hard for a longer period of time. So I take that luck, but I also understand it's a luck that is created by themselves because of the fighting spirit that they have.
Yeah, and we say this probably every week, because there's so many, like, people just jumping on decisions. And of course the whole thing that came out of it, where there's like pundits going, the decision was outrageous, like they didn't get it. So Konate goes down, doesn't he? Then we get the ball, and then I think it's 1 minute and 50. I think they have possession of the ball a couple of times after that. They still have a chance to. They could have scored still. Let's not forget, they could have still scored because they had the possession of the ball in between us maybe getting a fortunate decision potentially. I think we both said before we started recording, I've seen people saying that it is the correct decision and people saying that it's not. And I was like, I used to know the rules quite well, but I haven't got a fucking clue anymore because change it so often.
The referees themselves.
Yeah, the referees haven't even got a clue. So it's like, I can't even be asked getting into like the logistics of it. But like, if we did get a favourable decision, then so did they in the first half, because we were saying like Harvey Elliott blasts one of their defenders' faces in the first half. He goes down, rightly so. Like when you get hit in the face full force with the ball, like absolutely on the volley, it hurts and you're going to go down. Of course, I understand that. But then they got the ball back off the back of that. It's like, so you've got one there. And I understand two wrongs don't make a right and whatever, but like, like I said to you before we started recording, if that happened, like Canato went down, we got the ball, we scored straight away, like straight off it, like long goal kick or like a little bit of play or whatever in between, I'd have a bit more sympathy. But a lot of time had passed in between then, and we know like the Diaz goal against Spurs, once the time's passed, that bit of history is now dead. It doesn't matter if it's a goal and it's been chalked off incorrectly. It doesn't happen. It's not the correct decision anymore in their eyes because of the laws and all that shit. But I just think it's funny, like Jermaine Jenas, like saying it's a disgrace. You've got Mark Clattenburg, former referee, coming out saying this is ridiculous and all this, and just like, it's just so funny. Yeah, I enjoyed all of that, and then I enjoyed the meltdown just as much. People just absolutely fuming about it all, and it's like, at what point do you want to like? Because we were discussing a little bit like, like, how far do you want to go with VAR? Do you want to like make it so every decision is VAR'd? Do you want to like how minute do you want to go with it? And I always come back to giving them being the referees more power will make the game worse because none of us trust them. Like when you look at like in the group chat, for example, people put like in their like screenshots, oh, look at the referee we've got this weekend, and I'm just like, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is because they're all horrible. They're all really bad referees. So it doesn't matter because they're all mates. They're all fella in the VAR hasn't probably got a clue. The referee is terrible. Paul Tini's been took off the games for this coming weekend because of all this. And it's like, I'd understand if it was like a proper like stonewall penalty and he was in the VAR, didn't give it or whatever. But that happens so often now. Where it's like they'll just take them off a game for a week, and then it's like just you'll be back on games next week, the weekend after. But what did you make of all of it? Like all of the meltdown? I just thought it's going. I understand like losing the game in the 99th minute is horrible. I understand all that, but at the lengths people go to just drum up like some like serious debate, what they think anyway, is just I just think it's so funny.
But, you know, I think when we said this before we started recording as well, we were talking about it because I think, you know, what you said, you don't really know the rules anymore because someone put on Twitter, you know, that the rules, what he actually did all right with it, like giving the ball back in terms of what happened. And like you said, Forrest had one in the first half where Harvey Elliott, you know, had a hard shot in the face of a Nottingham player. And they had the ball back where we should have had it because obviously we had the ball. He had a shot. He took it in his face. Then, you know, we should have dropped the ball to us because we had it in play. You know, yeah, that should be, you know, quite normal. That should happen. So, yeah, in terms of that, then, you know, it's an error that happens. But we said before, I was listening to the Anfield Wrap this morning when I had a walk before work. And they said, obviously, it's an error, but it's the same kind of error as what happened as well for us because I saw that in the first half where there is a deflection from a shot from a Liverpool player on a Nottingham player and it goes out and it's obviously a corner, but it's given as a goal kick. And you can see on the replay that it actually deflects off a defender. And you'll be like, it's so easy to see. So why can't they change that in a 3 second, just check and be like, wrong decision made. It's a corner. It's a deflection. We've seen the replay change the decision. And I understand that we don't want to go into these little, you know, too much into that, you know, from a referee point of view and what we want to see on the pitch and as viewers and all that, because that will probably make the game even more you know, hard in a way. But it's just like, it's an error. It's the same kind of error that happens, because a corner is not a given. It's obviously a potential goal scoring situation that is not given, because a corner could be obviously a goal scoring situation for us, depending on how you take a corner, what kind of players you can bring up into the box, and obviously with Van Dijk, you know, his height and physique and other players as well, we'd be like, yeah, we fancy corners here because we know we can score from them. So if that is an error as well, this is the same kind of error. It happens in the game. It's not the worst kind of error. They are there all the time. The worst kind of error is what happened against Tottenham, for example. Or for me, when there's been, you know, I can't remember now, but when United scored after the, or got a goal after the final whistle or whatever. Oh, yeah. Them kind of errors or mistakes are so much worse than this, because these are small errors that can happen in a game all the time. So if you don't want this to happen, then you need to be able to check and review every single situation, like I said, and do we want that? I'm not sure, but you know, that's for me the level. So it's not an outrageous error. It's an error, and it happens, and we have to move on from it. Otherwise, we have to change everything really with VAR as well, and be more and scrutinize even more, you know, every situation.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think that the amount of, like, for example, you could watch a game of footy and there'd be at least five decisions where you go, that was a corner, but it was given as a goal kick. Like, it happens so often. So
wrong throw-in. It took on him. It should be our throw-in, and that could be a potential goal-scoring situation, because he might have a quick throw-in that goes to a quick play, and he plays it around the defenders, and we have 1-3. But it was not given to us. It was given to the other team, which take that away from us. That maybe momentum, or you know, that situation. So that's the same.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, I just wanted to get that bullshit out of the way first before we actually talk about the stuff that's being forgot about in the Ferrari surrounding this is the goal, which is fucking so good. It really is. Like, when you think about it, like, literally the last kick of the game, Tsimikas wellies it, comes out. Macher has the choice of watch the back over the last couple of days, like maybe 700 times, just because it's that good. Endo screaming for it on his right. You've got Szoboszlai on the edge of the box screaming for it going past me. And they still could have came to something, but the fact that McAllister goes, no, I'm going to spin round, I'm going to go on my weak foot, my left foot, and I'm going to play literally the most perfect ball onto Darwin. Yeah. Like, he couldn't have, where he hit that ball was the only place that Darwin Núñez could have scored. Like, a little bit more on it, the keeper's going to get it. It's going to go out for a goal kick or whatever. But the whole sequence of it, like, you can see Núñez, he goes, right, Mach has got it, edge of the box, he jumps straight back on side, Van Dijk's pushing the front of the Forest defenders a bit back further, so Núñez is on side. But I just loved the goal so much. Yeah. I think it's been forgotten about a little bit in terms of other fans, because of they don't like that 2 minutes have passed by and we maybe got a good decision. But I just loved the goal. I loved that it was him, because they were singing, "You're just a shit, Andy Carroll." They were singing shit all game. The fact that the way it happened and the person that scored it and the way it all played out, I just absolutely loved it. And the fact that it made us win the game, it's one of, again, it happens so often this season where it's like, that might be my favourite game. And I don't think this is my favourite game, but it's up there just because how bad the game was in terms of quality. And then you put you pull that out of the hat with like probably 20 seconds left. It's just like them moments are sometimes just as good as like a 5-0 win, because it's so like, it just feels so nice when it happens for you.
Yeah, of course. You know, if you win 5-0, you obviously celebrate every, you know, the first, second, and even third goal, you know, quite crazy, I would say, because you know, if you go 3-0 up against any team, really, you're quite confident that you will go and win it. You know, you can still you know, perform really bad and drop points if you're not, you know, on your toes. But, you know, I would say 99% you still be able to control that game and go and win it, even if you would concede one. And then if you go 5-0, like you said, you don't really celebrate the same. You'll be like, yes, come on, you know, good with goals and all that. But that can happen. But when you score a goal in the, like you said, last couple of seconds of a game, in that way, after what you mentioned as well, and I've said it already, what they sang to Nunez, what they sang to the Liverpool supporters and their general behaviour. And also, like you said, it's Nunez that scores it, because obviously, you know, he's getting, everyone knows that he's brilliant. And even fucking Luis Suarez keeps on saying, you know, he's the one of the best strikes in the world. And I totally fucking agree with him, because he knows his stuff, that bastard. And, you know, I think because I know that I love Darwin Nunez that much, the way he plays football. And, you know, when he comes in on the pitch as well in this game, you can tell straight away the importance he has for our team, because he creates things straight away. He's a threat. And that's what we love with him. But the way that he fights himself into this game after being injured, and the way that he gets up and gets his header down in that way and score that goal, obviously with a perfect, perfect pass from McAllister, it's just brilliant. And we would have celebrated the same even if it was anyone else. But I'm just so happy it was Nunez, because it kind of gives another push in self-confidence, gives another push in him showing everyone that, you know, he can be so crucial and vital in these moments and that we really need him. And I just love that. But, you know, I was, like I said, at this event with 100 other people, and I, you know, I pushed a few pints over, you know, I was standing up and I accidentally pushed the table, so everything fell over. But who cared at that moment, because the roof was lifting off, you know, everyone was just shouting, screaming, hugging. And then straight after, everyone, you know, was singing Nunez, Nunez. So it's one of them moments where you just think, you know, that's what you live for as a supporter mostly. Like, you obviously want to have the comfortable win, 3-0, done and dusted, still top of the league, keep going. But, you know, the nerves that you feel in this kind of game when you're not winning and you know that you need to win, because City will probably win, and then Arsenal, like they, you know, battered Sheffield United, you know that they're probably going to do their job, so we need to win this. And when you do it that late, and the nerves that you felt for so long, for, you know, 90 plus minutes, and then the relief you feel when you score that kind of goal in that, you know, last couple of seconds, it is one of the best feelings in the world. So please bottle that feeling and, you know, drink it whenever. And, you know, that will, I don't know, that's the best feeling. Like you said, the same thing as winning a 5-0, but this kind of win is probably better, I would say. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I think so. And it was Darwin Nunez's, let's just check, 14th goal. He's already got 11 assists as well, so ridiculous, really. And we say quite often on these shows, like, we'd like him to be more ruthless in front of goal. The fact that he's still, and like you said, he comes off the bench and to score like he did, the celebrations, the loads of different angles you can watch. It was one of them that you wake up the next day and you're like, I'm gonna. It's one of them where you spend a good couple of hours on Twitter looking at every angle, like from their perspective, where they're calling it a disgrace. And then there's horrible scenes at the end where I think there's a small Liverpool fan and with his mum, I think, in their end. And apparently Robbo was giving them a bit of grief, or like just a bit of taunting and whatever, as you do. Like, if they're giving you shit all game, you're entitled to give a bit back. And then Andy Robbo had to pull one of their kids, or one of a Liverpool fan kid, I think, in their end out, which wasn't the best. You could see one of our, like, our coaching staff just telling them to fuck off and all that. But yeah, it was just a bit of a mad game. But like you said, Nunez to come off the bench, getting the goal in the way that we did, in the way that we needed to. Like, we needed to win that game. It was so vital. Knowing, like we said, like, United would get beat by City, of course, and then Arsenal would batter Sheffield United. So it was crucial, and we came up again with the goods, leading us into next Sunday, which is going to be
that's why we needed the win, because we knew that City would probably win against United, even though United went 1-0 up, and you had your little small, you know, hope that they were going to be able to, you know, maybe get a draw there or whatever. Obviously, that didn't happen when they scored quickly and they just kept on going after that. But, you know, that's the thing. When you get that win against Nottingham away in that way, knowing that you're going to play Man City in the next game, that was so crucial. You know, you can't, you know, that's one of the probably, you know, I say if, because it's still a long way to go. If we go and win the title, you know, there, that kind of moment is the moment where you think like that's when titles are won, because, you know, there could be, if there was a 0-0 there, that could be the point that, you know, would fuck us over. Obviously, I won't take anything for granted, but, you know, you look at that moment and that's where you might be able to look back and you just think, yeah, crucial win that, because obviously the big game is on Sunday and obviously we need to go in to do the job there. So, yeah, but without the win against Nottingham, it would be a tougher mentally task to go into the game on Sunday.
Yeah, especially when you can keep your 1-point lead. I know 1 point is not unreally, but if you can go into that game knowing if you win, if you put everything in, if Anfield turns up and is feral all game, to go 4 points clear after 28 games would be massive. It wouldn't be anywhere near done. Of course, there'd still be 10 games left, but it'd give you a nice little boost. And I saw something interesting this morning, because I think it was 2 years today since we beat West Ham 1-0. Mane scored, and I was checking the game that was the 27th game, and of course we've played 27 games this season and we've got the exact same record as we did that season, only City were 3 points ahead of us at that time. Now they're 1 point behind, so it says how good we are, because I think in that season we were just incredible, going for the quadruple again. Of course we only ended up winning two of the domestic cups, we didn't get the two we wanted, but it just proves just how insane the levels are again this season with this side, and the fact that Joe Gomez in the six, Bobby Clark playing, Bradley playing, like having no Alisson, no Trent, no Salah, like just players that if you take three of the best players out of any other side, then they're going to really struggle. And with the fact that we're still managing, not playing the best footy in this game, but still managing to get over the line, I just think it's just massive credit to like the mentality and just to keep going. I love it, and that's like you said, that's what we live for. We live for moments like these and games like these. But I think when you factor in like Klopp's last season and like the players that we've got, like they all want to fight and die for the shirt. And I think that's the what we didn't see last year in that middle period where we were just getting beat by fucking everyone. We weren't seeing any of that, and I think it's just another level it is that to see that back again and for so long this season. I think that's why it even makes it more precious, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you look back on last season when we were that bad, and you look at, you know, you can see the players, some of them not, you know, being both. I guess physical tired and mentally tired from the season before when we went for everything. And I've said it before that I guess, you know, me as a supporter, and I've heard other supporters said that as well, you know, that kind of fight where you're fighting for everything and you're being up against cities, you know, with their economy and all their players they have, and you know, the way that they obviously play and can change and rotate without even being, you know, having like we are looking at now. And that's why I, you know, rate Klopp so high as well, because, you know, the way that he creates these kind of groups with players when you struggle so much with injuries, but you still keep on going and, you know, believe in each other. Of course, you know, it's going to take its toll on players when you go through a season like that we did two seasons ago, and then you have a down season and something needed to change and we did it. And now we see that we got so much more energy in younger players, hungry players. And, you know, we've seen Ferguson doing that through his career at United, you know, changing, you know, players every now and then, because he knows that some players need to change because they might need a change of environment. They need, you know, need someone new that is hungry and, you know, eager to show himself for the world and stuff. So it comes down to where we are now, I think, with players just showing their mentality and strength after what happened last season and had that kind of season and know that they don't want to be there again. And then you see the young kids coming in and doing what they do. I don't know. I'm just very happy, you know, that we get to see this now, because it's the, you know, the last journey of Klopp. And I appreciate the way that we are doing this, even though, like you said, the game in itself, we're not that good. We didn't play well. But at the end of the day, we, you know, we crossed the line and we scored that goal and we made sure that we are still that point ahead of City going into that game. And obviously we got a game on Thursday, first away against Sparta Prague. But you know what we do there at the moment, I wouldn't say I don't care, but you know, I just want us to not risk anything, get a draw or whatever, and then be able to do it at home. Then, you know, if we're going to go through in Europa League, which I want, obviously, because I want to go and win it, but I don't want it to be the away game that, you know, risk anything ahead of City. We can't do that, and we can't afford that, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, there's another game as well, like Thursday. I think it's hard to sometimes, like when you've had such a massive win in the league, and then you're like, to then try and shift your focus to like a lesser game and like in a competition we of course don't want to be in. We wanted to be in the Champions League, but I think once if we're lucky enough to get to like the latter stages, that's when it'll ramp up, and when we're getting maybe towards hopefully the finals in Dublin, I think it's set itself up hopefully perfectly for us. But I don't want to jinx it or get my hopes up. But that should, again, we need to. Again, it's like rotating the squad and showing faith in the young lads again, like a nice blend of youth and experience that we've been showing, and the lads have been showing it week on week. So I think I said in the last pod, like when Bradley and Quanta are getting thrown in, you should be like, if they have a bad game, you can't expect them to be very good every game, but the levels that they're producing and that they're showing every week, think, well, fucking hell, I can't believe that they're still doing it every week at a very high level. It's just but testament to the work that we're doing on the training field and how good they are as well, which is it's just boss to see, it really is. But yeah, a boss win going, well, remaining top of the league, 1 point ahead, of course, like we said, City 1, Arsenal 1. We march on to Sparta Prague on Thursday, and then we've got the big one on Sunday. One of them, hate that the cliche, like a six-pointer, but it really is. Like it's usually safe for relegation battles, but it really is a six-pointer, and especially with like the fixture list of the three teams, this is going to be the biggest one for us that we need to overcome. Of course, there's a few other ones that are going to be difficult as well in the remaining 10, but if you get a four-point gap with 10 to go, it's like that's set up as good as it can be over a side who... We know what we think of Man City in terms of what they've been doing, and but still they're a very good team, unfortunately. But yeah, that we can leave it there, lad. Nice little 35 minutes on. We could have done probably another 20 minutes on Paul Tierney and all our other shit, but we'll leave it there and hope the Reds can crack on. Oh yeah, it's 1 year to go today since we beat the Manx 7-0. So there's another little thing for you. So enjoy that. Go and watch the highlights.
I've already done that this morning. Yeah. Start this morning very well. First looking at the Darwin Nunez goal from the weekend and then be like, yeah, let's just see the highlights, the 7-0 against Man United, and it made my day.
There's also the 90 minutes version, which you can watch if you've got a spare hour and a half lying around, go and throw that on. Get it on your big telly, sit back, crack the popcorn open and enjoy that, because that was what an absolute feast that was. But yeah, we will be back. I don't know when we'll be. I always say this, I don't know when we'll be back because we haven't talked about it, but Thursday is Sparta Prague, so we'll try and do one before then. If not, we'll do like a Sparta reaction City preview type thing, and then of course we'll try and do a City reaction show as soon as we can after it. We don't want to be waiting a couple of days. We want to be hopefully celebrating a momentous win. But yeah, nice one for listening as always. And just before I go, I want to give a shout out to Jack Design, but also like tease something that's going to be coming soon. So, of course, I always mention Jack Design on the show. So if you go over to jackdesign.uk/shop, you can get 10% off his stuff. So if you enter in the code COPI10, you can get 10% off all of his Boss Liverpool-related goodies. But we've also got like a new... I don't want to say what it is, but it's like an exclusive. So he's got like the heavy metal red stuff, which I know everyone I speak to knows what it is and they absolutely love it. But there's going to be a little exclusive Jack Design /Copy podcast something coming very soon, which I'm Christian knows about, of course, but I don't want to give too much away because it's very fucking good. It's unbelievable.
You just DM me and I'll tell you.
Yeah, just DM Christian and go, do you know about this? Yeah, it's this. He'll tell you straight away. But yeah, that'll be coming soon. But if you want to get any of your stuff, like I said, copy10, jackdesign.uk/shop, enter the code copy10, get yourself 10% off. Go and do it. You help him and you help us at the same time. So get on it with the Reds being boss as well. Go and buy loads of stuff. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Nice one as always for everyone for listening and tuning in. As I always say, I really appreciate it. And nice one to Christian for jumping on. And yeah, we'll be back very soon. Let's hope the Reds can crack on against Sparta, and I'm ready for City on Sunday. Up the Reds, and we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Copy Podcast.
Podcast Network.